blessings of love and respect beyond you all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sava. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sava. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sava. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gami Hari Hara, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Parinata Hridaya. Omnishu is in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May they all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, but by compassion and mindfulness that proves this path. But by compassion and awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this exhortation, I confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I most deeply vow to train myself. With this exhortation, I confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. And in the practice of loving kindness, and in the practice of pure attention, and in the practice of ever-expanding faith, and in the practice of constant devotion, and in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Tujiyami tayami saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to help you suffering. If anything is suffering, it is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If anything is suffering, it is not more important than anything. We will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something or ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. What would you like to look at? Go ahead.
Well, I've just seen so much. I feel like I've seen so much in the last 24 hours. I had mentioned in group for the last week or so about a friend that died. And for a long, long time, I've just been mystified with the depth of my attachment to her. And when she died, it was so hard. And I just felt such a, wow, like my heart had just been taken out, and I just felt this emptiness. And so I've been sitting with it, and I just want to look at a little more of what I've been seeing around it. And I have seen that more than any other person I've ever met, she was holding all the things that self-hate told me I could not be.
Well, holding all the things that self-hate told you could not be.
And it was like all these years she was kind of like a placeholder for me. Of just the embodiment of everything I was not allowed to embody. And when she died, it was like, self-hate just swooped in and said all of that was death. That it wasn't here. Mm-hmm. And she didn't exist anymore. And that it couldn't exist here.
Mm-hmm. So she died, mm-hmm. and she was the embodiment of all the things that self-hate just told you could not be. Mm-hmm. And when she died, self-hate said, it's dead.
It's dead. It's dead, it's gone. You have no longer access to those aspects of life. And so I saw that, and then it was like I saw that the opportunity was like to just start, it felt like sifting through a fire and starting to pull the jewels out that remained. And take them, and take them for this expression of life, and allow them to be there.
And jewels made by fire.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it just felt like such an incredible I don't know what the word is, but yeah, something that just seems so, well, it was just a transformational process, you know, just something that was just felt so devastating. And so I started to just I've been spending time with just acknowledging everything that I had projected on her. That I just love so much, you know, and starting to integrate those things. And it was really funny. There was something that I really loved about her that I didn't even see until this whole process started to take place. And it was actually one of the things that, yeah, it was one of the big things I loved about her. And it was just like, it was something here that has just constantly been overlooked and kind of denied and like, well, that's really superficial. You know? And you don't need that, and besides, it's not very spiritual. And as I started to go through this, I went, wow, like there is some aspect of the personality that this is like extremely important to. Like it has been there. I could see it just like going on over time and manifesting in a lot of different ways. And so one of the things was, the thing was that she had, she lived a really casual lifestyle. She had a lot of animals and that, but she had a lot of style. She had a lot of style. And she, you know, she just took great care with her, you know, her style. In fact, at the end of her life, that's what she was assisting other people to do, to just, you know, dress.
Nice. Dress style.
And when I saw that, it was like, whoa. And I just remember even when that aspect of personality was, she's on it, you know, but she doesn't get to manifest it. So I was recalling that when I first came to practice, I remember going to a workshop and she was like, saw somebody in Sangha who was wearing a really stylish coat. And she's like, okay, I think I can go with this Sangha. I think I can practice here because they're good dressers, you know. And it was just so funny, and I saw that, and it's like, and so, yeah, I think it was just another one of those self-hating processes. Like, it's okay for you to wear sweatpants and ratty t-shirts. But that care about style is like, you know, that's over.
So what's beautiful about what you're saying is you've practiced with all this. Uh-huh. I mean, you were left devastated and you sat with that and you practiced with that and began to reclaim the projections and find them. You're finding the jewels in the fire.
Yeah.
And even things that conditioning would tell you are trivial things that you shouldn't even reclaim. Finding some, it looks like delight in reclaiming them.
Yeah, to just like, to not have, to just lay down all that self-hate and just like, well, I don't know, but that's what life, you know, gets passionate about. And who am I to question, you know, what, who knows? It's been rich and and it's been so amazing to see that, you know, I felt like in her lifetime she gave me so much, and then in her death, oh my God, how much more I've been given.
All those things that you thought died with her, mm-hmm. you had the opportunity to rediscover in you. Mm-hmm. And it's, I project that she always saw that in you.
That's funny, yeah. When I've been recorded a lot about it, and that's what the mentor said. You know, Sequoia, don't forget, you know, you always felt like she was alike to you, but you were to her too, you know. And this thing about style too is, as I talk about recording, I realized that in the beginning, as we started with recording and listening, and I was just becoming accustomed to the mentor and having conversations, my mentor would always show up dressed. My mentor would always show up dressed and put together, and it was one of the things that I loved about the early recordings. You know, I'd always describe what she was wearing, and you know, and if something very celebratory happened in my life, she would always dress up, you know, to just like celebrate with me. And yeah, she wasn't, you know, she wasn't swampy, you know. She had style. She would just deck herself out. And so I just, like, all those little pieces just came back. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I just wanted to say about it is that the wisdom of the body. There was a lot of self-good hate going on, a lot of, like, no, you know, it's over, just, you know, just move on, and, you know.
Slog along
in those sweatpants, and, you know, just keep slogging along. And then I hit a wall, and I just, like, the body just wouldn't go anymore. And I felt like just everything inside was just kind of misfiring. And that was the body's way of assisting in its wisdom to stop and to just process what was going, what was transpiring. And it would have been, without that assistance, without that wisdom, it would have been so easy to keep just pushing on through. Mm-hmm. And with a little more damage, you know, just have it continue. But, well, it just was like, no, mm-hmm. stop. Mm-hmm. And then, and the support Sangha and the ability to say, you know, yeah, I need support, and wow.
Sounds like a great moment of guidance from body. You know, mm-hmm. Just stop.
Yeah, which really is kind of cool. And I realize how many times the body has guided. It's just guided mm-hmm. through all kinds of situations. And just been ignored quite a bit, but you know, but to see more and more that, wow, it is actually always honest and available, and it'll just keep knocking, you know, to deliver its wisdom. So,
have you? The other night you mentioned this, and it was the recommendation from the guy about expressing appreciation to her in some way. Have you had a chance to do that?
I've just been doing a lot of thank yous and listing out everything that's just talking out loud about everything that has been a gift. And that's really cool because she was an artist, and she had a great love of color, and And so it's after the Thursday night in group when I talked about it with the guy, I really did. I woke up the next morning with like, whoa. I could just feel that she had transitioned. And what I felt beyond that, unmistakably, was that whatever it was that was her life, the life force had just integrated with all that is and the beauty. And I could, just like, all right, Kathy, now you're with all of those gorgeous colors that you so loved in your life, just there. And so it's been great that I can just now take in the color around and appreciate it and see that essence of her in there. So it's been assisting in the thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been a huge gift.
Yeah, I'm finding that it's like it's all new life.
It's all new life. And I just feeling her all around and know that she's available to have tea with, like I've mentioned before. A lot of folks have tea with now. But in the silence of my And so and I know that if I ever want to go shopping she'll go with me.
All I was seeing in that was how wonderful it is to have our attention on the jewels.
Mm.
And I was seeing that because I haven't so much had my attention on the jewels. And that's why it's so good to, I was committed to speaking up. There's been quite a bit of resistance going on. And it's been obvious, as always, it's the attention is on a conversation. Feels like an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
It is an addiction.
It is an addiction.
And
my name is Scott.
Completely, completely. And I think actually that's kind of where I've been landing this morning, moving out of that self-hate around it that keeps that conversation in an addiction, into an acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think the little card in our tea cabinet was kind of saying like, well, the first thing you can do is accept that you're resisting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh yeah, going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm so blessed I live in a place where what's going on in terms of the behavioral outcomes of that, being in a conversation in the head and resistance, I think if I was not living at the monastery, it probably wouldn't flag anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But here at there's been a lot of flags. I've had the equivalent of a lot of notes recently. And, my relationship with the notes has changed a lot since I've lived here. There's still like an initial, the resistance comes up, or defensiveness, or I can explain, or all of that. And,
The equivalent of notes, you have time to go through all that.
Completely.
Well, and you react to that.
Exactly. Actually, yes. It is, yes. That's probably the biggest thing with it. And that's why the relationships change. Because there's lots of space. I'm just so lucky to know, for one, to be in that relationship with the note, with the guidance for an intensive period of time, but also to be on the other side where I'm getting guidance to essentially write the note or an email or whatever it is, and to know so clearly that the place that those notes come from is great attention and care and just completely, purely wanting to assist that person to be present.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that there is no other agenda than that. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So when that experience then needs a, either what's wrong with me, I did it again, or, well, that's not fair, da 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 da, or I can, it dissolves that. Because I just know that's not it.
Right. You know the other side of that is what's coming,
yeah.
Where the note is coming from.
Yeah.
dissolves all the resistance to the fact that you're getting it.
Yeah. And as I was saying that, I mean, that's what's cool, is that movement that can be made. It's all that pity aside. You know, there's, you know, oh no, not again, or well, that's not, da da da, and then here, and then almost like that's a little thing in that big thing, as we talk about, in that larger awareness and that compassion and that love. And it just can't stand up to that.
And it invites you to move into that.
It invites me to move in. And it's sort of like, at this point, it's like, fine. You know, like, why? I don't, I mean, I will fight. There is a particular, ego will fight, and I will collude with that to quite the degree, it seems like, when you know there's another choice kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And there's also just a place where I see that fight being given up so much more quickly. It's like, this isn't serving me. I mean, it's fine. I mean, if you want to have a tantrum or tell me how you didn't really mean to do whatever you need to do, but I mean, we just know that's not it.
Yeah.
And that all life is, you know, it's like, there was even like one thing that I got communication about that I didn't actually do, but it was sort of like, oh, you know, we can see how that could happen because we're developing a bit of a reputation maybe. But just the fact that it doesn't matter actually, because all the message is be here. Yeah. So it doesn't actually matter if I did it or didn't do it or anything like that, because all it is a prompt. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, which is what life's doing all the time, come here, be here, I love you, be here. So, you know...
So you don't have to fight either the no or the resistance.
No. No. And of course, it's going to resist that because it doesn't live here. It doesn't want to come here. It wants to desperately keep the human's attention. Mm-hmm. Not here. Mm-hmm. And the mentor is just saying things like, you know, because of course the self-hate is like, you keep doing things to maintain this, and you know how to not be in this. Why don't you, you know, that kind of thing. And the mentor's like, well, it's not like this shouldn't be happening. There's no alternative universe where something else.
Right.
So we don't really have a big picture. But what we know right now is here you are, mm-hmm. and you're on the recorder. Mm-hmm. And just back to that quote card, well, the first thing you can do is just accept that you're, you know, whatever you're resisting. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what it takes. Not egos. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to get back on, you know, that's kind of comes out of that, you know, self-hate, and it's just part of that little map.
It just carries it on.
It just carries it on, and now I have to be perfect, and I'll never do that thing, which maintains that thing, and, you know, then the pressure builds, and then I got to do one of those coping things, which is actually self-hate maintenance, and now, oh, I can't believe I did that, but at least I feel a little bit better, but I feel worse, you know, it's like...
It sounds like you really, in a way, when you walk around with one of those charts in your head, what do you call those?
It's the map.
The map, yeah. It's those graphs in your head, and you can just begin to see where you're
at. Yeah, it's really helpful, and actually I have a meeting with a mentor every Monday night to do a map, and it's just so... helpful to get it out and see it. I mean, it's just like, there's a lot of laughter, mm-hmm. very sobering, you know, there's all kinds of things like that. And just the humor piece. I watched myself in the kitchen, it was like, I'm in a conversation, and there's someone who's visiting needs assistance. And it was almost like, hold on, conversation. Totally. And then I did go back, and then it's like, wait a second, what am I doing?
Don't need to be rude, but
yeah. I mean, what is this thing that we're going over and over and over and over again? But I can't really do that and assist this person.
Yeah.
And it reminds me how you really can drop the conversation quite easily in that way.
Yeah.
You know, when it matters. I mean, it was clear. Like, if someone asked me to do something, I can get out of that and be here to do that, which is really cool that skill's even there.
Yeah.
And
it also really points out how important that conversation actually is. That you can drop it in an instant.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and isn't that interesting? So in there, it's so clear. But if it's just me walking around, you know, which just in, I'll end here, but the big point is just still this thing around that I'd like to look at more closely is there's some sort of threat about I can't leave this whatever this me. Mm-hmm. You know, something, if I, so it's like there's the skill. I have the support. I know how to let go of it. I know the tremendous life that happens the more and out of the conversation. The whole, you know, where your attention is determines the quality. I know all that. Yet, so what is it under, what's the underlying belief that keeps me holding on to a system that I know doesn't serve me? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so, it's like, wow, the perniciousness of, mm-hmm. of that. What is holding that? There's some kind of belief that I still need that. Mm-hmm. I can't let go of that because... Okay. And there's just this fear, and I can go intellectually, well, that's not my fear, it's ego's fear, but that's, there's something about that that's not quite mm-hmm. sinking in.
It's really kind of the practice going on, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I have the skills, I have the tools, I have the community, I have the place, why do I keep?
Yeah, exactly, thank you for that, because keeping it as a koan keeps it out of the hands of, mm-hmm. of the voices to do something like that.
Well, for me too, the great thing about a koan is it just invites us to keep looking, it doesn't yeah. close the answer.
Yeah, and it invites us to keep looking, and it doesn't require us to be different, mm-hmm. which is that, that's how that all gets taken over, where you should be different, you have this, you know, that kind of thing, so, yeah.
When you were describing the mentor's response, you know, versus conditioning's response, one of the things that I was hearing what you're saying, too, is that conditioning mobilizes for a fight, and the mentor is so good at just defusing the situation.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
Very different response.
Yeah, oh my gosh, and the body completely registers that. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
June. So I'm looking at not listening to conversations, getting out of conversations as self-care.
Mm-hmm. Looking at getting out of conversations as self-care.
Yeah. Yeah. An example, during at the beginning of meditation this morning, actually before the bells rang, I made a commitment. Let's see, let me set this up a little bit. I usually sit back there looking at the wall alone, usually, on Sunday mornings. And that's one experience. And then having people next to me today, that's another experience. That causes the attention, that kind of grabs the attention and starts conversations and blah, blah. And I know that experience. It's, I'm going to call it unpleasant. not that people are unpleasant, but internal experience is unpleasant. And my thought was, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to follow the breath this entire meditation. And of course, the first thing that came up was, oh, that's a contest. You're going to fail. And the mentor said, no, it isn't. No, we're not. and to a great extent, I was quite present. Following the breath of counting, there were moments of not doing that. And it was not a failure. And I did not focus on whatever having lovely people sitting next to me can sometimes trigger. And it was just, it was a wonderful experience of every time the attention wandered into conversation. There was coming back into the body, back to the breath.
Into self-care?
Into self-care. And an aspect of that, I don't usually see this way, but this morning I did. I have a sore neck. And when attention wanders, I go into old postures that cause it to hurt. Mm-hmm. And so this morning, staying in, focusing on the body, and posture, maintaining the posture, following the breath, eyes at 45 degrees because they'll sink way down further. Keep it bringing about 45 degrees. The whole guidance, the whole meditation instruction structure really helped.
Yeah, that wisdom of the body thing, isn't it? It's just referring to. That, and I don't know who said it, but somebody said that the meditation posture itself is the meditation from the way, but that's the practice.
Yes.
That posture itself, that's it. So your body let me know when you were getting off because you're different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so, crown of the head, you know. We had for years a yoga teacher who taught us a lot of anatomy and gave us a lot of images. And so, helium balloon. And every time the pain would dissipate. And so it was just the whole minute, triumph of the meditation was not getting sucked into spending 30 minutes in some kind of fantasy, something about how many people are in the room. I can do that easily.
Yes. So it really triumphed the self-care in that you didn't turn over your meditation to conditioning.
Yeah.
And with the assistance of the body,
yeah,
you kept coming back. And so it feels like rather than going with a conversation with conditioning, you were in an intimate conversation with your body, yeah, about being present and how to be present. And when you would get off, the body would remind you, and you were able to come back.
Yeah.
You were in it together.
Exactly. So,
yeah. I've really been seeing a lot with the year-long retreat, especially this week given this environment. And I love the question about what are the two bad choices, what are the two wrong choices, and it's my comments about coming here. And I saw that my two choices were I can go and be miserable, or I can be a quitter. I can be a quitter.
What a great life.
Yeah. And then we were invited to look at the karma that was underneath that. I mean, how could I be miserable here, you know? What dropped in was, well, of course you'll be miserable because life is hard for Judy. Mm-hmm. Just life is hard for Judy. Mm-hmm. And then, as we've talked about before, I was listening to some recordings this morning, and the New Year's retreat came up, when we talked about the karma that we've inherited from our family, and I heard myself saying that what I learned from my father was life is hard. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So no matter where you are.
Right. Or no matter what I'm doing.
Right.
But conditioning's been able to personalize it. It's not just life is hard.
Right.
It's life is hard. And for years, the guy has been encouraging me to laugh at conditioning, but somehow I couldn't. You know, I had resistance around that. But this idea that life is hard for me, given my privileged life, really,
it's hard to keep it up.
Yeah, it's hard to keep it up. It's hard to keep it up. But, well, then I guess we could just drop it.
And laugh.
Yeah, that's right. And laugh. I mean, it's just given, yeah.
So when you have a chance to see that deep karma at work,
yes,
and how it personalizes it to you. So
yes.
It's not life is hard, it's hard for you.
Right, right.
Maybe especially hard for you.
Right, right. It's kind of, it's only hard for you.
Only hard.
No, given my life, it's just, yeah. So it's just been, you know, we're halfway through the first month. I mean, you know, it's not very exciting. And I'm coming back soon, so. Mm-hmm. And this time, my whole attitude about coming back is changing. I don't know if it's changed completely, but it's changed.
It's fascinating to see what.
Yeah.
If you can leave in the end of the next day.
Yes.
So, what a great mm-hmm. time to come in.
Because I think it's only a month or 5 weeks till I come back for another month.
Oh, yeah. It'd be fascinating to see what conditioning is up to by then.
Yes.
And be able to, and what you can see through about that.
Yes. Yes, I'll be on the lookout.
Oh, yeah. Life is going to get hard to measure.
I'm on the lookout. Yeah, I can feel it now. It's a whole different place. It's a whole different attitude.
Yeah. You're
really
kind of excited about
the
energy.
It is. Yeah. And it was so, I mean, I know this is on recording, so I'll kind of whisper. But you know, the first time I came, I was so upset about my husband dying. And you know, it's like, now what's his name again? I mean, and I kept seeing that. how much it's pure manipulation of conditioning.
Just it'll fit the meanest, nastiest,
And I heard Sherry say that one time while I was at the state years ago, that one of the meanest things they can do is thinking our kids or our parents or our spouse or are going to die. And it had to be something horrible like that because it's so crazier. You know, I had to really pull out the ringers to get him to be miserable if he goes so hard.
It has no bottom.
Right.
He'll go anywhere.
Yeah.
To make him miserable.
You know, I watched a Beautiful Mind again in preparation for this. You know, I saw it here several years ago, and I watched it again. And what dropped in this time is at the end, the guy won the Nobel Prize. I mean, the Nobel Prize. And the voices did not give up.
Right?
It really struck me this time.
You know,
they're just going to be there until the day I die.
And what he says is, I just don't listen to him.
Right. Right. That's exactly what he said.
And I love it when you remember you walked out of the classroom and this man comes out and talks to you and turns to his student and he says, "Is she sure?" So help us all know to see through that stuff and help us all know to give us reality checks. And
And also I'm seeing that the making change, I've done the book on my own, of course, and I've done it every time I've been a visiting month, but there's something special about, maybe it's momentum for having done so, about the whole Sangha doing it this time, with the support of the radio shows. It's just making it great for me. I mean, to see through this year, this dread I've had, it's just been going on for years and years and years.
Right? Yeah.
And to see that it's, really see that it's just completely fabricated.
Yeah. A vicious source.
Yeah, a vicious source.
Right. Well, this way you go home to what's his name. Yeah. Well, even again, it's probably.
Yeah. From us.
Yeah. Karen?
Well, I've just been looking at so much that it's, I too want to talk about the year-long retreat because I don't think I'll be on the. I don't think I'll be talking about it on the phone for a little while. So, but I have, I went through I got to see like the overachiever in the beginning because for self-care, I just wrote down every single thing of self-care. And then as I was listening, I'm like, oh yeah, this isn't going to work because it was just like across the board. And yet there was somebody trying to make it all work and actually doing a pretty good job of it. But it's dropped in since I've been here. And it was fun hearing the conversation this morning is that what I'm looking at is bringing more awareness to meditation practice.
And
I might do that the next month if we get to, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next month. If we get an opportunity, I might keep going with that. And what I was seeing is that there was, you know, at home there's a showing up for meditation, but that's kind of it. Like somebody makes it there and then I don't know what happens after that. It's just like sort of a, you know, well, we're not supposed to judge, there's no bad meditation, you know, like all the little things that come in, but there isn't this, you know, the term that I've heard here is that meditate like you mean it, that it's not had that quality at home, meditate like
it's
you
mean it. It's been a discipline, but it hasn't, but you say it isn't of the same quality that you have here, really.
I just don't know how to describe it. There's like a showing up, but then there's just a going off, you know, not like, you know, maybe just there's, it's just been everywhere, coming back to the breath for maybe one or two and then off again. And when I first came here, that was, of course, I brought that with me. And I'm like, you know, this, I think I can, and I don't, this probably wouldn't be the right terminology, but I think I can do better than this. I think I can. And so to just bring awareness, that's the do better. Like, you know, to meditate like I mean it. And it isn't so much that I don't go off a lot, because I do, But there's this really watching, mm-hmm. you know, like, how does that happen? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and maybe making it to 7. Mm-hmm. And then coming to somewhere, oh my gosh, okay, I didn't see how that, okay. You know, and pretty soon, that's the other thing I noticed. At home, because I'm keeping time, you know, or I'm with virtual meditation or whatever, but there's a lot of looking at the clock, mm-hmm. and of course, we don't have that here. And that's been such a gift, but the time just flies. There's never a thought mm-hmm. of how much longer mm-hmm. or any of that. And it's just, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know what, I don't know how this is going to take care of me, but I just feel like it's a really important part of self-care for me right now.
And as the way you're describing it, it sounds like you're already having a sense that it's taking care of you.
Yeah.
So that it's a way of self-care.
Yeah.
The motivation to explore more of what meditation might be for you feels like exploring self-care. I mean, doesn't help that you said you have a decision to be perfect thing about I want to make this work, but rather getting really interested in what happens when I sit and what happens, where do I go, and what's it like when I don't? I mean, it feels like an exploration.
Yeah, it is here for sure. And I think when I look at what's been going on at home, there's been a lot of resistance, and it reminds me of, well, you know, you can either meditate and be miserable, or meditate and be happy, or, you know, and I've been meditating and it's been something to get through, kind of. And so it's just been really nice to go, wait a minute, you know, like to see that there's a way out of that, mm-hmm. And that, you know, and it's not like an efforting, I don't know what it is, it's just to bring more awareness to it, mm-hmm. more willingness, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like some curiosity, too.
Yeah.
The one thing about meditating here, where you're not in charge, is you can surrender to it in a different way, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not in charge of the time, so it's kind of easier to let go of.
Yeah. And I've even, like, you know, set a timer in the other room, mm-hmm. you know, put my phone way far away from where it's set. Sometimes I will actually get up and go check it. And I mean, you know, I'm just out in conditioning here. Like, oh, how much longer? You know, so it's just, I just want to out everything I can about it. Mm-hmm. And just, so anyway, just really appreciating being here and having that drop in for something for the self-care.
Yeah, and especially given what you laid out about, you know, the sort of encyclopedic approach of self-care that you started with, that we'll take care of this and this and this and this, which sounds not at all self-caring because it's not like a heavy-duty task. To be able to just give that up and focus on one thing that mm-hmm. sounds like intuitively you just know does take care of you, and just stay with that and explore that.
Yeah, and there was such resistance to not, I didn't make a list of all the things. Mm-hmm. I wrote it out as a big line.
I see.
You know, like, it's just a list and a big line.
Or not.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, and it just, and so it's like, oh, and I knew when I was listening to the radio show, I knew that, like, oh, you can't have all these things. Like, this is just, you know, the instructions were pretty clear. Mm-hmm. And why am I not doing that? And so it just feels so good to have done it, mm-hmm. even though it's a little late. But it's, you know, it's now I just feel like I'm here on the retreat.
And there really is no such thing as late.
No, there really isn't. You just see it when you see it, and you get it when you get it. And anyway, okay, thank you.
Rebecca. So I'm going to talk about the year-long as well, because I haven't really talked about it much. And I can see I was sick and doing the Huber Cure a lot last week, And I can see a story being started that I'm falling behind and maybe I'll just sort of coast until the next month and then we'll really get on board here. So I'm putting the kibosh on that. And so what I saw about, so my self-care thing is about building core and upper body strength, strengthening exercises. And my two bad choices were, it's either going to be really hard and challenging, or I, much like what we just said, or I'm going to blow it off and then feel bad. Mm-hmm.
So those hard and challenging, or blow it off and feel bad.
Uh-huh. And surprisingly, when I did the exercise on what possibilities were there, which I'm now seeing, I have been believing for the last however many days since we did that I haven't really quite gotten to those possibilities. So there's that. But let me just tell you, so what actually was there was the possibility just to pare it way down. Mm. Because what I had in my mind about a plan was big. Mm. And so the possibility was just to do 3 planks a day, or count to 5. And then there, good. Call it good. Mm-hmm. And I can see how quickly that got dismissed.
Not enough. That is enough.
So not enough. And so you know what I've been doing? Nothing. Because those 3 planks just aren't enough. So we got to wait, do nothing, until we can figure out what we really need to do. In fact, I saw it just get wiped away yesterday night when it dropped in. Hey, there's the floor. I could actually get on it and do. And I picked up Francis and I just did something totally different. And then he scratched me and then it made me mad. And then I, just went off into something so totally.
So you started out with, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this upper body stuff, which might be hard to do during the trip, for sure.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, I did. You're ill. So then the option.
I got a real free pass during that.
That's right.
But it's been a while.
Tell me another one coming up that you can catch up. And then the choices were, I can blow it off, or I can put it on.
It's a real big, challenging and hard.
It can be big and challenging and hard. But so then wisdom came in and said, I'll just do 3 points a day. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm talking about this, because that is just so freeing. From talk about laughing at conditioning, and it was so right there.
Do you see how it happened? Do you see how it happened?
The which part?
The not doing it.
That's a good question. Let me look for a second. It just gets covered over. Because I've seen a few examples of that in the last week or two, about it, something will drop in and then it'll just get covered over with, just kind of a, the shiny penny, thing. Who's the shiny penny? It's like, what? Okay, yeah. And for some reason, it's just, more, it's just up more now than usual, that whole distraction thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, are you seeing that? Are you outing this today, this process? I mean, is the process that you've been watching, or is it just sort of.
Yeah, I actually communicated about it too. It's like, okay, I'm feeling a bit off here because this keeps happening. I'm not seeing things that are there, and I'm seeing things that aren't there, and so just heads up, there's something going on. But what feels like is helpful in just talking about it in this particular context, mm-hmm. is, I'm going to do those planks today, because this conversation has happened, that's all it's taking, I'm sure, I commit to reporting on it. If I don't, it's going to kind of, forgive me, Sangha for I sin thing, But I will. I know I will. And so it's the power of just getting the conversation out from the head and into air.
Going public.
Yeah, going public. And you know what? I haven't even recorded this frankly about it. I've recorded about it, but not this frankly.
Mm-hmm. So the recording can be used as another reason to, another way to deflect, can it?
Because there's always so much to record about, you know, and this can get just exactly like the blanks have, you know, just get shoved away. So, really helpful. I think that's all.
I better talk so that I write out my stuff or whatever. So, first of all, I'm loving the retreat. So I'm talking about those. Yeah. So
I love retreat.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like I'm seeing things around. It's so tricky to talk about almost. But, so I'll see a process. So I set up these. Mine was actually to get up early, and so I decided for this 30 days to actually beef up my morning practice, my meditation, so, and yoga, and I mean, I'm getting up early doing it, and this, the resistance is just like really, I mean, this is extreme. I mean, you need to take care of yourself and get good sleep, and you know, just the first day, I just felt wonderful, you know, I was just, the second day, you know, and then the time changed, right? And so then I just watched how the time changed, and I happened to have an uncharacteristically busy week that 4 out of 5 of the days I did not get to do the videos, the radio show at the time that it airs, which I prefer to do it at the time that it airs. So anyway, I watched the whole thing about the Monday morning when the time had changed, and I only got to do like part of the thing. Mm-hmm. And so it just started in with, just like I'm being described. Well, if you can't do all of it, I mean, you're really tired anyway. So what do I do tomorrow morning? And so I kicked on
yourself.
Right! It does that. It does it, you know, Penny, I know this is not going to surprise you, but it does it about everything. Mm-hmm. And because I'm looking at it about this, I'm actually catching it during the day. About every, you know, I described it last Sunday about the in-laws or whatever it was. No, I was driving Claire to the airport in the middle of the night last Sunday. So I missed it last Sunday. But anyway, the same thing's going on that I talked about every week probably. But it's the thing of just don't give yourself completely. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, you know, just don't be completely here and recognize how full life is. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, just listen to me for a minute, you know. Just listen to my story for just a minute. And you're paying attention a lot of the time. In fact, you're even recording and listening, for God's sake. Just give me a little bit of air time.
Yeah, just give me a little of yourself.
But it doesn't say it. It says it in the, okay, so yesterday's was, oh, you've got a bit, you know, it starts in with its story that I'm addicted to. You know, whatever it is, you know, you've got a long day, and it's a Saturday. You know, you've got to do this, and this, and this, so just don't do this. And I was like, you know, and it really does it. I watched it with this meditation thing I created in the morning. So it'll just shave off the edge. So that it can then beat me up, which Ashwini reflected the one time I was on the radio show a few weeks ago. Its whole purpose is so that I can miss that I was there for 27 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I talk about I'll sometimes get off the radio show before she says go happy. That's like the story of my life. I get off right before, so it talks me into it, so that I thought so that I didn't get to have the whole 30 minutes. But it's actually so that it can lie to me. Mm-hmm. About the 3 minutes, and then tell me I'm missing my whole life.
Well, the other thing is, okay, it also takes the language of what you want to do, which is self-care. And yep. So you have this program you want to do, and its language is, well, you need to take care of yourself. So,
exactly.
You need to take care of yourself. Don't work so hard.
Right.
And so,
right,
it's really seductive in the way it goes up. And then you know, you're taking its advice about what self-care looks like. Nothing can beat you up about what a terrible decision.
And then nothing I do counts. And then,
but you know, nothing you did, you count.
Yeah, nothing I did, you count. And I'm not really a good mom. I'm not really a good spouse. I'm not really a good spiritual practice person. And I mean, it doesn't get to, I don't believe that as concretely, but I do, you know, anyway. It's just so helpful to realize we're all listening to the same tape. You're the, now CD or whatever. You know, we're all, it's so helpful to hear people talk about it because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
That is me.
And it's so malicious. It's just so very malicious.
Yeah, I have been seeing that too. I mean, who, you know, just, I think it's in there, there's nothing wrong with you, but really, one of the first things we learn is, would we even would we be friends with someone who talks to us this way?
That's right.
No.
You guys can follow your kids around doing that too.
Yes, well, they must have.
I don't know. You know that.
Right. Yeah. So it's just helpful to come because then it's just, we've got today. Mm-hmm. You know, this is it. This is the day. And I can do my plank, so to speak, today.
Right.
Today, you know, that's why we're seeing all through all this, so that we can ground ourselves here.
Yeah, instead of being constantly drawn off into what we're not doing, or how we ought to do it differently, or how we ought to do it better.
Because that makes us miss what we are doing.
That's right.
Living.
That's right. That's
paying close attention. Sitting here this morning, I mean, how many of us are there? Not that many.
Right.
Well, a lot for us, right? But in that way, I got to get that on the recorder.
Yeah.
You know, the truth is.
Yeah. As Sherry always says, you know, bank robbers and murderers aren't in this room.
Exactly. So,
thanks.
Yeah, a couple more minutes.
Good. You're so grateful to be here. So grateful. Everyone's here, and I'm so lucky to be here, and so I felt like I should say something. Maybe that every time I hear about the year-long retreat, it's like a gut punch. It's like, well, you can't afford it, and the reason you can't afford it is, you know, whatever, you did all these things, and you don't have money. And I know that's just another conversation, you know, it's just another way to take me away. There's plenty I can do for free. I didn't anticipate feeling so emotional right now, but just how strong that story is about being not having money and why, you know, my fault, you know, all that, the beating part. And it's just cruel. There's no point to it except to torture this person.
Just to make you feel the way you're feeling, right? That's this whole point. Make you feel bad.
Yeah, and then where to run? You know, I don't want to run into its arms, you know, into its clutches. So I just want to drop. I just want to drop that story, because it's just cruel. I'm alive, and there's a lot to do for free,
and
I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. We know one of those, right? You're at a monastery, right?
Yeah. And it's right away. And it's like, oh, you barely had gas money to keep you. You know, be able to do it. I mean, it's so, but it's always something, you know. That's the great and funny thing,
right.
You know, it's always something, so it just feels juicier, or you know, sometimes, but right away, it could be anything, I know that, you know. Yesterday woke me up this morning, oh, you should have put the hot things in a glass and not a plastic, or, you know, whatever, whatever is here, it's going to try and get me, so, I know this, and so I just want to keep coming back to, I'm alive, and I'm so grateful that this place exists, and that we're all here practicing, and just to be a part of some good. And so I'm so grateful that I'm still alive. And not too long ago, I heard a great thing on the radio about practicing to where you get to feel better, and then you kind of coast, and then you kind of get in a hole again, and then it's a cycle. And it just, like, when I heard that, I just fell down. I was like, I've been doing that for 10 years now. And I love to not do that. And however it goes, who knows? But I just some realization that I'm alive by some miracle. I'm still alive. And just thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. And you know, one way to think about it is, with all the evidence going against you, isn't it incredible you made yourself get here? Isn't that fabulous? Just a thought. And you're grateful.
So good.
Be so grateful. Just to be alive. And part of the game.
Yeah, and this schedule is different and feels like life has just given me this huge gift of this is the time that I'm recording and listening now, because there's so many recordings I have that I have never heard that I've been hearing these few days. And it's like I feel like, okay, it's like a recording and listening boot camp. You know, just my camp. I made it here a lot of beginnings. So okay, let's get it. Let's go. You know, let's. So yeah. Just thank you so much.
Thank you all.